Some people approach their work like this. You can either approach it as my work is a job or it's a career. Okay, you come with me. We can approach our faith, our involvement in the kingdom of God, in the way that some people approach their work. That is it just a job or is it a career? See, a career goes like this. When I was in the CPA business some 25, 30 years ago, in 1980, I set up my firm with my partner, and here's what we came to learn over the years. We came to learn when we hired people, we came to learn that people that you hire are pretty much in two separate categories. Those people who really see work as something that is a lifelong career. In other words, their whole life is invested in it, and what they want to do is they want the work, the company that they're working for, to succeed. They want that company to do well. And it is as if their involvement in the company is not so much about their personal success, although they certainly want to succeed, but what they're doing is they have invested their life in the success of this enterprise. That's the first kind of person. It's the person whose life is invested in the success of the business. The second kind of person is a person that when you interview them, you know what they want to know? Tell me. How much money? When do I get off? What are the holidays? Do you pay me insurance? What is it you're going to do for me? Okay? In other words, there are two different categories. The first one is where the work is a career. My life, I'm going to invest in this business. I'm going to try to make your business a success. Okay? Versus the person who really just is there to collect a check. The person is there to collect a check. Here's what they're going to do. They're going to want to know, well, how many hours I work? How many hours a week am I supposed to work? What time am I supposed to come? Supposed to come to work at 8 o'clock? Supposed to come at 10 o'clock? Supposed to come at 9 o'clock? Well, then whatever time I'm supposed to come, that's when I'll be there. And then what time do we go home around here? We go home at 4:30. We go home at 4 o'clock. We go home at 6 o'clock. We go home at 5:30. You understand what I'm saying? In other words, what they want to know is what is required of me. What is required of me, and how much are you going to pay me for what is required for me? Because you know what? I'll give you what the minimum is, but don't ask me to go beyond the minimum. Don't ask me. You know, I remember when I worked with Ernst and Ernst back in those days, the early days. Here's what they would want me to do. They had this program for the people that were in a supervisory status, and what you had to do is you had to fill out these contact reports. And you had to fill out these contact reports every other week. And what those contact reports would say is that you had contacted at least so many people during the preceding 2 weeks, and the purpose of your filling out this contact sheet was to show that you were trying to bring in new clients. That was the whole purpose of it. And I'm sitting there filling out this contact sheet, and I'm thinking to myself, this is so ridiculous. Do you think that the reason why I'm going to go try to get a new client is because I got to fill out this sheet? If I'm going to get a new client, it's not because you tell me to fill out a sheet of paper. It's because I believe in this business, and I want this business to succeed. See, this is my career. This is my life. Okay, and so I want you to succeed in the process. You know what? What's going to happen is I am too. Now, here's what I in the CPA business. Let me tell you about this man. Oh, sometimes I just wish I could just. let me tell you about David. Not my son, David, but this guy that worked for me, his name was David. I'm not going to tell you his whole name in case he listened to the tape or something. But anyway, but he could. His name was David. You know what? David was not the sharpest tack in the box. He wasn't. You know, if we were talking to a prospective client, I'm not sure I would send David. Because David did not communicate. He didn't communicate success. He didn't communicate that you need to hire us. He didn't communicate that way. But you know what? One thing I know about David, he loved what we were doing. He loved his work. And so if we had a problem, you know what? You know who I'd take that, my problem to? I'd want David to work on it. Why? Because David, it didn't make any difference whether he was sharp as tack. This was a man whose career was what we were doing. Okay? He was interested in the success of the enterprise. It didn't have anything to do with what his gifts and talents were. To David, the work that he did for us, it was not a job at all. It wasn't a job. No, that was a life. It was a life. And he was concerned about the success of the organization. Now, the point is what? When it comes to the kingdom of God, do you approach it as if it's a job, or do you approach it as something that you've invested your life in? Because that's what Paul's talking about. Why do we need revival in the church? I'll tell you why we need revival in the church. It's because God's people have come to a place where they think it's all about them, as opposed to the kingdom of God. There's a totally, you will approach it a totally different way. When Paul says, I do all things for the sake of the gospel, what's he saying? Is he saying, hey, you know what? If I got time, you know, you want me to do such and such? Oh, if I have time, I will. Let me ask you a question. Let's see. Who can I ask? Okay, Lisa. Oh, pretty little baby. Somebody, if Lisa doesn't know, somebody help her. Lisa, how many seconds in a day? Somebody help her. Clap dog, you know. You mean to tell me I don't have anybody in here who knows how many seconds in a day? In the back. No, you were here earlier. You can't tell. Somebody not in the 9 o'clock. He looked it up on his iPhone. There you go. 86,400 seconds in every day. Okay, Vic, how many seconds in your day? You're supposed to say 86,400. Brendan, how many seconds in your day? 86. Jackson, how many in your day? 86,400. Eddie, how about yours? 25,000. There you go. Okay. Okay. You know what? We all got the same number of seconds. We got the same number of seconds. I got 86,400. You got 86,400. Nobody's got more. Nobody's got less. Now, we may think we got less, but we don't. You see, what is my point? You know, when it comes to the kingdom of God, you have the same number of seconds I do. Okay, so what that means is the things that you'll be on time for will be the things in your life that matter. You know what? When I was young and playing football, how many times do you think I showed up late for practice? I'll tell you one thing. You know what would happen if I showed up late for practice? Yeah, man. Well, let me ask you a question. Wonder what would happen if I said, okay, everybody that comes in late, but after we start singing the service, you got to do 25 push-ups. Well, you think I would teach? You think if we did, you come with me here. You come with me. Because that's exactly the point. It's exactly the point. You see, we have not invested in the kingdom of God to the point that it is a priority. And so how do we show that? Whether we come on time, whether we are apart. And it's like, you know what, if we were to dare say such a thing, oh man, I can't believe he said such and such. Well, I don't know about that preacher. Who does he think he is? Is the word of God going to speak? Now you think I'm kidding? Well, look, let me show you. Look at what he says. Okay, he first starts and he says, I do all things for the sake of the gospel. Okay, I don't think Paul had his priorities out of order here. He didn't have his priorities out of order. I do all things for the sake of the gospel. Why? That I might be a fellow partaker of it. Then he says this, just to make sure we understand what Paul's saying. Look at what he says next. He says in verse 24, he says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives a prize? Run in such a way that you may win. Well, let me ask you a question. If you tried to use the metaphor of a race to describe your spiritual life, would you describe it as, I live for Christ like someone trying to win a race? You see? You see what I'm saying? He says, hey, when it comes to whether or not you grow in spiritually, when it comes to whether or not you are taking responsibility for your spiritual heart, when it comes to whether or not you're taking responsibility for the seed of the Word of God that God lays in the field of your heart, when it comes to that, would you describe your response as someone who runs a race for the purpose of winning? See, because that, in my mind, is exactly what God is telling His church. Is this the way we approach the gospel? Is this the way we approach church? Is this the way we approach advancing the kingdom of God? You know what He says in Colossians 1:13? Look at that real quick. Come on, turn quickly. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, okay? Look at what He says in Colossians 1:13. Here's what He says. For He delivered us, that would be Christ, He delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son. If God has delivered us from darkness, if He's rescued us from darkness, and He's transferred me to the kingdom of His beloved Son, do you think that when He transfers me to the kingdom of His beloved Son, that transfer comes with the understanding and expectation of God that I have responsibility to invest myself in the kingdom of God? Does it come with the expectation that I will be concerned about the advancing of the kingdom of God as if it is my own? In the sense that it should grow. Let me ask you a question. How is it possible? How is it possible that you can give someone the bread of life if you're not eating it yourself? If I'm transferred, if I'm taken from one kingdom to another, a kingdom of darkness to a kingdom of light, if He calls me in 1 Peter 2, if He says that we are a kingdom of priests, do you think being a king, you with me here? Do we need a few, we got lots of activity today. Let's stand up for a 3-second break, okay? Then maybe I can get you all right here. Come on, stand up. 1,001, 1,002, 1,003. Okay, you can sit back down right quick. Okay? Now, let's see if we can get our heads back. We're going to pretend we just started. We're going to pretend we just started. Okay? Because that way we'll be all vibrant and ready and listening, and we can give God our undivided attention. Okay, so where was I? Okay. Okay, look at this. It says, everyone competes in the game to win. Okay, here's what we got to do. You got to decide whether you go enter the race. You have to decide whether you go enter the race. Okay, because see, we got lots of people that are in the stands. What God wants us to do is enter the race. And what difference does that make? Let me ask you this. I've been blessed to run 3 marathons. Now, let me change that. Now, I've been blessed to complete 3 marathons. I didn't run 3 marathons, okay? I completed 3 marathons. And that's, the last one was like 5 years ago, okay? But here's what I've learned. What I've learned is this. The very first thing for me to be able to complete a marathon is to sign up. I got to pay the fee. If I pay the fee, I sign up. You know what happens? I have a totally different attitude about preparation. Yeah. It's like what I try to do, because I'm a diabetic, I need circulation in my legs, and so I run, I need to run no less than 3 times a week. If I don't run 3 times a week, my legs are going to really hurt really bad. Okay, but a lot of times what happens to me is I get in my office, it's early in the morning, I spend some time with the Lord, and then, you know, we got in with the men, we pray at 7 o'clock, I come back in my office about 7:20, and now, you know, my head's in a different place, I'm going to start doing something else. I get involved in one thing or another, and the next thing I know, looking, it's 8 o'clock, and it's too late to run. And so I don't run. And I think to myself, oh man, I should have run, but I got distracted with this and this and the other, but I just have to do better next time. You know what I've learned? I've learned this. I've learned that if I have entered a race, if I've entered a race, I will not miss those three runs. Because I know I've got an objective here. If it's a marathon, you know what? I don't run three times a week. I probably run four. I'll run five. I'll run five times a week. Now, why would I do that? Because I want to complete the race. There's a race that I've entered, and if I don't run, it's like entering the race causes me to realize that I have to train. I have to train for the race, and if I don't train, I'm not going to complete the race, and I'm probably going to run. If it's a marathon, that's 26 miles. I'm not going to be able to complete it unless I complete the training. Well, let me ask you a question. When it comes to the kingdom of God, which is like a race, do you realize that in order for you to run in the race, you have to train? Can I ask you this question? If you were a pastor, and we could ask this question to probably every pastor of a Christian church in the United States of America, what would you do with the fact that out of your entire congregation, only 25 to 30% show up at Sunday school? What would you conclude? You see, not showing up at Sunday school, at Lifeline, isn't that sort of like getting distracted and not running one of those days that I need to run in order to complete the race? Church, come with me. It's like what we do reveals who God is in our life. What we do reveals whether or not we have actually entered the race to advance the kingdom of God. The evidence of the fact that the church is in dire need of revival is not the empty pews. The evidence is the empty Bible studies. See, what Paul is saying, I do everything for the sake of the gospel, that I might be a fellow partaker of it. You know what he's saying? He says, number one, you know what? I've been transferred out of the domain of darkness into the domain of light, into the kingdom of God. And you know what? I'm a part of that kingdom. And I'll tell you one thing, this kingdom that I'm a part of, it is real. And in fact, my struggle is not against flesh and blood, says Paul in Ephesians 6:12, I believe it is. He says, my struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's against the powers of darkness. It's against the rulers and principalities. You know what? God's people don't realize that there's a spiritual battle going on. We don't realize there's a spiritual battle going on because we hadn't entered the race. The first thing we got to do as God's people is we got to enter the race. We got to realize that the race is real. There's an actual opponent over there, and he's not some demon dressed in tights with a pitchfork in his hand, but he is Satan, and he's real. And we've forgotten what the battle's about. We didn't even realize the battle's going on. Do I have a question? Does that make sense what I'm saying? See, that's what you need. If you look down, look at verse 26, of 1 Corinthians 9. He says, therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air. You know what Paul's saying? Paul says, you know what? I'm not shadow boxing. What's a shadow box? Somebody show me a shadow box. Who can show me a shadow box? Show me. Dennis, stand up. Stand up, show everybody. What are you boxing at? Nothing. Do it again. Sure, there's something out here he's boxing at. Whoa, that's pretty good. You know, what's Paul says? Paul says, you know, I'm not chatterboxing. He said, I'm not chatterboxing. You know what he's saying? There's something real that's opposing the advancing of the kingdom of God. That's what he's saying. He says, you know what? I'm not pummeling the air here. Paul said, yeah, I'm advancing the kingdom of God. And who am I advancing against? I'm advancing against Satan. Do you realize, you remember back in Luke 8 when we talked about the parable of the seed? Do you remember who it is that snatches the seed, the word of God? It is Satan. When he says in Luke 18, be careful how you listen. Because he says, he who has will more be given. What does that mean? If you're hearing what I'm saying and you're believing what I'm saying and now you're going to act what I'm saying, well, you know what God's saying? He's going to give you more. He's going to give you more. But if he's not, he's saying, even what you think you have, it'll be taken away. Well, it's like what God's saying is, you know what? If you don't act what you've got, Satan's going to take away what you have. Why does the church need revival? Because Satan's taken away what we had. He's real. We're not shadowboxing here. So you got to decide to enter the race. What does that mean? You know what? To me, it means we develop spiritual disciplines. We develop spiritual disciplines. The one thing I love about running, you know what I love about running? When I'm done. I don't love while I'm running. But I do it because I know that if I do it, it will help me to finish the race, to complete the race. Okay, but here's the thing about where that analogy fails. The analogy fails because God says this about His Word, and this is what I have experienced, and this is what the Apostle Paul is going to tell us about. Here's what he says. Taste of the Lord and see if He is not good. Look at Philippians 3. See, because now how many seconds did we say we had? We got just about a few more minutes in here, so I better get going. But how many seconds do we have in a day? Tell me that again. 86,400. Okay, thank you very much, Miss Caitlin. All right, now looky here. Look what Paul says. Here's what Paul's going to do. To help us make the right decision about how to use that 86,400 seconds, look at Philippians 3. Look at what he says in verse 7. First, what Paul does in those early verses in chapter 3, he lists all the things that you would say are success. Okay? These are all the things that we would say, okay, man, in the world, in Paul's world, in this day and time, I've got these things, I have arrived in terms of the world. Okay? Then he says in verse 7, he says, but whatever things were gained to me, these things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. In other words, all these things I had. You know what? Paul says, you know what? I had 86,400 seconds today. Got 86,400 seconds, and those 86,400 seconds, this is what I do with those things. And then he says, all things that I had before I knew Christ, I'm counting those as loss. I don't want them. I'm getting rid of them. I'm dropping them. Why am I going to do that? Because I'm going to reprioritize what I do with my life. That's what he's saying. Whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. He says, all these things I count them as loss. Why? Because you know what? I found something in Christ that's worth a reallocation of my seconds in a day. It says, the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. You know what? You know what the Apostle Paul is saying? Apostle Paul is saying when it comes to feeding on the Word of God, when it comes to investing in the kingdom of God, he's saying, you know what? Whatever's keeping you with me now? Whatever's keeping you from doing that, count it as loss. In fact, says Paul, Paul says, whatever it is, he doesn't just say it's loss. You know what he says? He says, I count it as rubbish. You know what the original Greek means? Yeah, but it's even worse. Poop. But it's the bad word. You know what he's saying? All this stuff that I have, I count it as compared to knowing Christ. That's what he's saying. Compared to knowing Christ. know, Paul's not talking about coming to Lifeline so you can say, okay, I did it, preacher. No. No, he's not doing that. You know, on Wednesday night 2 weeks ago, we had 41 people. You know what? When revival takes place, you know what's going to happen? Our goal is not going to reach. Is not going to be to reach 50. It's going to reach to be able. It's going to be to reach 150. Why do I say that? Because you see, when people reallocate, and they put God first, and they seek God with their mind, heart, soul, and spirit, when they do that, what's going to happen is they will be satisfied. They will see the switch. They will see the exchange. And they will say, oh, wow, why didn't I do this a long time ago? You know, in my own life, let me just close up here with this. 20 years ago, or 25 years ago, whenever it was, I made a decision. Okay? That business that I started with John Royster, I loved it. I absolutely loved it. Okay, I did not leave my work because I was dissatisfied with it. I didn't leave my work because I didn't want it to be my career anymore. Come with me. I didn't do that. I didn't leave it because I wanted it. I wanted this career. You know what? I did it. I left it because I wanted to. Because God had shown me the pure beauty of His Word. He showed me the pure beauty of how the Word of God can transform a life. Okay? When you put the Word of God in a heart and a soul and a mind and let it bear fruit because you act on it. Because what you do is you share it with someone else. You know that when Paul says he wants to be a fellow partaker of the gospel, you know what that's really saying? What Paul is doing, what you receive when it comes to Jesus Christ is not to be held on to. You can only experience a blessing as you give it away. I've been giving away the blessings of the gospel for 20-something years, and I can tell you right now that what I had compared to what I got now, there's no comparison. It's no comparison whatsoever. And it's the same thing God wants you to know. Same thing. Is this a shoulda, woulda, coulda? No. This is a blessing. It's a blessing. Young people, oh, if I'd have known this when I was 15. If I'd have known it and acted on it when I was 18 or 20. I had to wait till I was 38 years old. But it doesn't have to be that way for you. It says, run the race to win. So you'll put your mind and your heart, your spirit in knowing Jesus, sharing Jesus, growing spiritually. This kingdom of God here growing. Let God bless you in the process. Let's pray. Father, I come before you in the name of Jesus. Oh, Father, I love your word. I love it, and I know it transforms a heart. Shows a heart, Father, what life really is, what abundant life is. Your word says, draw near to God and He'll draw near to you. Oh, Father, the truth of your word is powerful. It changes hearts. Oh, God, I pray, Father, that we, Father, as your people, would stand on the word of God, would feed on the word of God. You say, Father, you tell us, let him who has ears to hear, let him hear. Father, I pray we would hear. We would act on what we have heard. It is in the acting, oh Father, that we experience life, abundant life. We experience the fresh reworking of the Holy Spirit of God. If we've fallen down, oh God, you pick us up. So, oh God, pick your people up. Call us unto yourself. Grow us in Christ. Your head's still bowed and your eyes closed. Have you entered the race yet? Have you entered the race? Have you been just watching from the sidelines? Watching everybody else get ready. God wants you to change that today. He wants to transfer you from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. If you've never received Him as your personal Savior, that's where it begins. But that's only the beginning. God wants to do so much more. He wants to grow His kingdom in you. He wants you to take ownership in what He gives you so you can give it to somebody else. You can stand on it, be blessed in it, be a fellow partaker of the gospel, sharing the gospel. So today, if you're ready to enter the race, here's how you can do that. You've heard the word of the Lord. You must respond to what you've heard. The seed is sown either in the road, alongside the road, amidst the thorns, or in good soil. The good soil responds by repentance, confession, and walking with Christ. Today you have that opportunity. We begin to sing in a moment. Just make your way to the front and kneel here in the front of the church, and you just talk to God and you tell Him that. And you choose today to become a fellow partaker of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, have your way in our hearts and lives today. We'll give you praise. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen.